This episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a set of 10 uniquely beautiful diamond rings, and they're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com. This exciting collection of truly unique, limited edition diamond engagement rings is available now only at BlueNile.com.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Thursday, everybody. And it's not a happy day in Timberwolves land. It's another head-scratching loss. And maybe at this point, it's not so head-scratching anymore. The Wolves are 5-16. They lost to the Spurs on Wednesday night in a game they led by 15 points early in the fourth quarter and lost by three. Had multiple chances to tie and take the lead down the stretch, including having the ball with 15 seconds left down three and only getting one shot off, not even getting a chance to play the foul game, any of that stuff, because of severe mismanagement of the clock and timeouts and play calling and the whole thing. So today's show, I don't know. I mean, I have a plan for it, but I think what I want to do, I rewatched every Wolves offensive possession in the fourth quarter. I'm recording this just a couple hours after the game ended on late Wednesday. So I went back and watched the entire fourth quarter again and have some takeaways from that. So I guess we'll start there because that's obviously where things went wrong. It was actually roughly 30, 35 minutes of good basketball by the Timberwolves. Things didn't really start to go downhill until late in the third quarter. So I want to do that. And then I want to talk, I guess, main takeaways from the game as a whole and not, you know, basically this first segment spend talking about that fourth quarter collapse and my takeaways from that specifically. Then I want to talk about the game in a more broad way before getting to individual studs and duds, as we always do here in the final segment of the show for today. Also, a quick preview ahead, if you are new to the show, this is a Monday through Friday daily show. This is the Thursday podcast recording after the game Wednesday. We will have a Friday show previewing the weekend games against Oklahoma City, a crossover episode with Ryland Styles of Locked On Thunder. So that'll be posting on Friday early, so you can get caught up in all things Thunder. They've had a really interesting season so far, to say the least, and I guess kind of the exact opposite of the Timberwolves, a team that's trying to tank that's not, and the Wolves are a team that's trying to win that can't win. So that'll be Friday's conversation, looking ahead to back-to-back Wolves games in OKC on Friday and Saturday. So before we get to the fourth quarter in Wednesday's game, a quick reminder, you can subscribe to this podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. Subscribe on iTunes, follow on Spotify. And you can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Personal Twitter account is at B Beacon. That's two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Make sure to follow both of those Twitter accounts. All right, so fourth quarter. I don't know. I had notes as it was happening. I went back and watched it and wrote down notes every single offensive possession that the Wolves ran after their starters came back in the game at roughly the 7 minute mark. The Wolves led by 15 early in the fourth. They played their bench for the first basically 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, and the lead slowly dwindled. The bench, to be clear, the bench was not playing outstanding at that point. They couldn't get things going offensively. That's been kind of an issue for that unit. And so the Wolves lead was 97, actually they were up 16, 97-81, the 10-21 mark in the fourth quarter after Jalen Noel three-pointer. And then the Spurs go on a quick 5-0 run. They get 4 points from Trey Lyles, they go on a 6-0 run, 4 points from Trey Lyles quickly. And then the Wolves call a timeout. They try and kind of settle things down. Still, the lead keeps shrinking. It gets down to 97-89, and it stays there for a little while. The Wolves basically enter in their starters. They bring in Beasley. They bring in Edwards. Russell came in just prior to that. Naz Reid came back in the game, all between the 7 and 8 minute mark with the lead hanging at 8 points. So it's 97-89. And from that point forward, here are the Timberwolves' offensive possessions. Okay, this is at the 7-13 mark forward the rest of the game. They run a set play in the half court after the Spurs had cut the score, after another free throw. It was 97-90, actually. Trey Lyles split free throws right after those guys came back in the game. So 97-90, the 6:39 mark, the Wolves run a set play for Malik Beasley where he curls around a screen, gets a pass, and makes a floater from about 12 feet, kind of a floating jumper on a set play called for Malik Beasley. Next play down the court, basically the same action, and then D'Lo instead takes the double screen, drives into the paint, gets blocked, and then ball goes out of bounds. They run a sideline out of bounds play or a baseline out of bounds play. Nas misses a corner three. So two solid sets where Beasley and D'Lo are your top two offensive options. That makes sense, right? Next time down the court, they try something similar. Beasley and Russell mess up a handoff, broken play. Beasley kind of heaves up a three-pointer in the broken play. The Spurs come down and score again. Next time down, there's a foul. They run an out-of-bounds play designed for D'Lo. So now 3 minutes have gone by. They've actually ran several plays. They haven't scored, but I guess the Beasley floater. They had 2 points on those four possessions. So then starting at the 4 minute and 30-second mark, this is where things get insane. D'Angelo Russell misses in the pick and roll. Anthony Edwards gets a rebound off a free throw on the other end of the court. This is the only time Anthony Edwards touches the ball in the entire fourth quarter. Let that sink in. 12 minutes, you have the number one overall pick. He's played a really good game. Played great the last two times out. The only time he touched the ball, the entire fourth quarter in a game that you were leading by 15 and ultimately lost by three, was on a rebound on a free throw on the defensive end of the floor. He dribbled the ball up over the timeline, gave it to D'Lo, and stood in the corner for the rest of the night. That's not Anthony Edwards' fault. That is it's coaching. It's execution more than anything, but it is also coaching. So that's point 1A here. Actually, we'll call that 1B. 1A is this string of possessions, what went wrong in the fourth quarter. D'Lo misses a shot on that same possession where he gets the ball from Anthony Edwards. They run another pick and roll. D'Angelo Russell makes the wrong read. He tries to force a pass to Naz Reid instead of a wide open Malik Beasley standing all by himself at the top of the arc. They ran a pick and roll. Beasley set a secondary screen and just kind of faded back to the arc and was wide open. Instead, Naz got a tough pass. He got blocked, got the offensive rebound, kicked it back to Beasley, and Beasley got into the paint and scored. So the Wolves did score in that possession, but that was a pick and roll where D'Angelo Russell forced a pass to Naz. That was the only possession in a 4 minute stretch that D'Angelo Russell did not shoot the ball. And he still made the wrong read. Next time down the court, pick and roll, D'Lo makes a layup. Next time down the court, pick and roll, D'Lo's fouled, splits free throws. Next time down the court, pick and roll, D'Lo misses a layup. Naz Reid gets the putback dunk. Next time down the court, down by two, 110-108, pick and roll. D'Angelo Russell gets the ball he's at the free throw line, has a semi-open free throw line jumper, which D'Angelo Russell makes those shots probably 65 to 70% of the time, wide open from the elbows of the free throw line. But Malik Beasley's wide open. Nobody's within 5 feet of him in the left slot. And Russell kind of glances at him and instead shoots a two that would have tied the game had he made it. He missed it. And it obviously wasn't the game. It was still a two-point game, but I mean, the Wolves never tied it after that. Malik Beasley was wide open, standing beyond the arc on the wing, and Russell instead shoots a contested, semi-contested. It wasn't a terrible shot if nobody else was open, but Malik Beasley was way more open. Turns out three's worth more than two, would have put the Wolves ahead. Also, Beasley shot the ball a lot better than Russell in this game, and Russell made the wrong read. So point 1A, 6 out of 7 possessions in the fourth quarter, D'Angelo Russell shot the ball without passing it. Point 1B, Anthony Edwards touched the ball one single time in the entire quarter. It was on a defensive rebound on a free throw. He immediately got it up the court and gave it to D'Angelo Russell. And go back and watch the fourth quarter. Edwards is standing in the corner on almost every possession. And I haven't even gotten to the out of bounds play at the end of the game. Actually, I want to get to that next. I mean, that's going to be takeover. I mean, what other takeaways are we going to have from this game besides the fourth quarter? There isn't much else to say. So I want to talk about the mismanagement of the last 10, 15 seconds of this game, because to me, that was the biggest issue from a coaching perspective. versus some of the other stuff, the play calling, because the execution has to be there for the players too. That's not on Ryan Saunders. Accountability is, sure, but the execution of a pick and roll is not on Ryan Saunders to figure that out. Could he have been more creative? Yes. And that's what I want to get to, is how he managed, again, timeout management, and some of the issues down the stretch in the game. So that's what we're going to do next. Before we do that, though, let's talk about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? And wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry. You have a computer with access to rockauto.com, both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. They always have the lowest prices possible and don't change prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Again, the prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and they are the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. All right. So the other thing we have to talk about at the end of the game is with the Wolves down three, we don't even need to get into all the crazy stuff that happened. The Wolves intentionally foul on Jakob Poeltl, him splitting free throws, then the Wolves giving up an offensive rebound and then fouling a jump shooter. Questionable calls, certainly. Beasley should have gotten a foul call on the offensive end. And then on the other side, DeMar DeRozan gets a foul call for Beasley being in his space on a jumper that he missed. Of course, split the free throws, I guess, to put the Spurs up three. That's what led to this final possession. My take on that is, yes, Beasley's attempt on the Wolves side should have been a foul. It should have been a foul. On the defensive end, I understand why they called the foul on Beasley. He did kind of get up underneath DeRozan a little bit. They've been calling that consistently. However, I'm sure that was a call. He didn't touch his arm. However, the thing that I think grinds everybody's gears on that one is how late the foul call is made. They don't call it until the ball's already in the air after bouncing off the heel of the rim, and then suddenly it's a foul call. That's what's so frustrating on the heels of Beasley not getting the call on the other end. So understand why that's a foul. Probably should have been a foul, but it should have been a foul on the other end as well. So all that to say, that's what led to the Wolves being down by three, and they're down three with, let me get the exact time, 18.1 seconds left. The Timberwolves have a timeout in their pocket. I think just one. And they start dribbling the ball up the court, right? They can hold for the last shot, but they're down by three. So why would they? So they dribble the ball up the court. The Spurs aren't going to foul. They have a foul to give. Finally, with 8.5 seconds left, Greg Popovich says, just commit the foul. Derek White commits an intentional foul on D'Angelo Russell. And then the Wolves call a timeout. So now you've wasted 10 seconds, down three. The Wolves call timeout, sideline out of bounds. I guess not a huge deal, because at that point you're thinking you could still get a shot up quickly, a chance for an offensive rebound and a kick out, another try at it, or the Spurs get it. You can try and play the foul game real quick, hope they miss two free throws and hope for a miracle. It's still not great. I mean, you wasted 10 seconds. So what do the Wolves do? And here's the thing. I've said this before on the show. Ryan Saunders is actually a really good coach when it comes to drawing sideline out of bounds plays, really any ATOs, any after timeout play calls. Saunders is actually really creative. His stuff's really good. And who knows how much of that is him versus Pablo Prigioni and the other coaches on the staff. But what the Wolves usually run, even baseline out of bounds plays, really anything after a timeout, is generally quite good. So I was flabbergasted when the Timberwolves put the same lineup back on the court, including Ricky Rubio. And so you assume that maybe Rubio's the trigger man. He's going to pass the ball in. No, Rubio's on the opposite side of the court in the corner. Malik Beasley's the trigger man. So then you're thinking maybe it's a pass. He curls around a screen and catches and shoots from outside the arc. Maybe they run something, a flare screen to get him open in the corner. No, he passes it into D'Angelo Russell. and everybody basically runs to the left corner and leaves D'Lo on the right wing by himself and lets him go ISO. Now, if you watch the play back, it looks like there was supposed to be a down screen set that Beasley was supposed to set a screen for Edwards, and Edwards was supposed to come up to the left wing, the left slot, really. And then Beasley, in theory, could have been in the corner available for, you know, if the pass got swung back around the perimeter, or maybe a skip pass, which obviously would have been dangerous in that situation. But it seemed like there was another component, a minor component, that would have allowed Edwards and Beasley to be the second and third options on a play like that. However, Russell never was going to pass that ball. And in some situations, ISO ball is fine. And if you're going to have somebody play ISO ball, you want it to be D'Angelo Russell. But D'Angelo Russell had just used 6 of the last 7 possessions just a few minutes before that, and had only made, I think, 2 buckets and split a pair of free throws. So five points on 7 possessions. I don't know the exact math, but that's less than a point per possession, and that's not what you want. So, and the Spurs knew, everybody in the arena knew that it was going to go to D'Angelo Russell. But I think everybody expected that the Wolves would at least run something a little bit more creative to give Beasley a chance at the shot. Like, for as good as Saunders is at drawing those plays up, why wasn't there something more creative? So if that play's run, best case scenario, it's either a Russell shot, it's swinging the ball around to either Edwards in the left slot, or it's Beasley in the corner, are your options. But that was never going to happen. So first of all, I don't like the play call. Second of all, the execution was horrible. Beasley and Edwards didn't even bother to run the second part of the play. You could tell him kind of waving off Beasley because the spacing was awful. It just ended up being 4 guys jumbled in the left corner watching D'Angelo Russell go to work. And Russell didn't shoot the ball fast enough. He didn't shoot the ball until there was 2 seconds on the clock. He wasted 6 seconds dribbling on the perimeter, basically, and didn't shoot until there was 2.2 seconds left. Or at least that's when the ball came down and there wasn't enough time for the Wolves to follow at that point. The Wolves needed to draw something up to get a quick catch and shoot. Worst case scenario, there's a rebound. The Wolves have a chance at an offensive rebound or a foul against the Spurs to try and make the Spurs make free throws. But they called the wrong play. They executed it poorly. D'Lo waited 6 seconds to shoot it and there was no time left to do anything else. There is plenty of blame to go around after a loss like this, and plenty falls on Ryan Saunders' shoulders. A lot of it falls on D'Angelo Russell's shoulders. And it's the team's really finding new ways to collapse. And this wasn't, the rotation was fine. I mean, this was down the stretch. I mean, you could argue against having Rubio on the floor, period, down the stretch. I mean, they went with 2 point guards instead. No Josh Okogie, no Jaden McDaniels down the stretch. Rubio left and came back with a few minutes left in the game instead of Okogie. So, I mean, you could argue and say, you know, they need to have McDaniels on the floor to have more spacing, et cetera. That, sure. That's a fair argument. That's not why they lost. They lost because they didn't execute. They lost because they mismanaged the clock. They lost because they gave up a bad offensive rebound. The officiating played a part. There's lots of different reasons that played into them losing this game. And it's not fair to blame it all on Ryan Saunders. But there have been some bad late game mistakes when it comes to clock management, timeout management, ATO play calls, defensive coverages. And this game, I think, was as much equal parts execution. And by that, I mean mostly D'Angelo Russell, as it was Ryan Saunders. And yes, I mentioned this earlier, accountability plays into it, obviously. And we don't know exactly what those conversations look like behind closed doors. We can get a sense in terms of post-game comments from Ryan Saunders, you know, where the team's head's at and what he thinks. But we don't know exactly what's being said. We don't know what was said in the timeouts, whether D'Angelo Russell was told, hey, this is your time, take over. I mean, we don't know that. But what we do know is that the execution and the end result was bad. And the majority of the blame goes on those parties, on Ryan Saunders, on D'Angelo Russell, and the overall execution down the stretch. Other takeaways, I'll hit that next, right before Studs and Duds. That'll be the final segment for today's show. Before we do that, though, let's talk about our great friends at betonline.ag. I'm all about Super Bowl prop bets, and we're only just a few days from the Super Bowl right now. Me and some buddies are talking Super Bowl prop bets. We're trying to figure out exactly which ones we're going to take. It makes watching the game that much more fun. Halftime prop bets, commercial break prop bets, and of course, Betting all things NBA, even NHL, college basketball, there's tons of stuff out there right now to bet on. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we here at Locked On trust, and that's betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On. You receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Also, let's talk about our great friends at CBDMD. Even though getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done, our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to sleep harder than NBA media is sleeping on the Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell pairing once Cat gets back healthy. That didn't flow that smoothly, but the copy says DeAndre Hunter, and I wasn't going to say that. So I'm trying something else out. But CBDPM blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. If you want to relax a little before bed, their new CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxury experience and are available in lavender or eucalyptus scents, as well as soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. To make it even easier to get the year started off right, they're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's cbdmd.com. Promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. When you need fantasy basketball advice, it's important that you have a reliable source. More people trust Josh Lloyd, host of the fantastic Locked On Fantasy Basketball show, than any other fantasy basketball podcast. Subscribe to the number one fantasy basketball podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so other takeaways from this game. I talked about all the things that happened in the fourth quarter. The rest of the game, the Wolves actually played really well up until the very end of the third quarter. The first quarter was all about Anthony Edwards. Malik Beasley was awesome. Naz Reid was playing well on both ends of the floor. Blocks, taking charges, knocking down threes. And then the second quarter, Ricky Rubio was amazing. I mean, he had a vintage. I remember he did a similar play against the Spurs back his rookie season, where he dribbled the ball behind his back twice in a row with the same hand. It was basically around his body twice. He did the around the waist this time, not dribbling, and then scored a layup against the Spurs in this game as well. And then had almost like a little, well, it wasn't exactly a sky hook. We'll call it like a little magic baby hook. Kind of running across the paint, left-handed, just a really good second quarter. Rubio had like, I think it was 8 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds before halftime. And I mean, the Wolves looked really good in basically every facet. The bench was playing well together. Jalen Noel had double figures again in this game. Everything was kind of best case scenario going according to plan. Jake Layman played well, especially second quarter, didn't get a lot of run in the second half, but everybody that saw the court for the Wolves played well for the most part. So I guess that segues us into studs and duds. There were a couple of really standout players, and I guess a couple of players that didn't play quite as well as the Wolves would have liked in this game. For studs, Malik Beasley is the easiest one. He had 29 points on 12 of 18 shooting, 4 of 8 outside the arc, 6 rebounds and assists to steal, 0 turnovers again for Malik Beasley. 29 points on 18 shots. I mean, he only attempted one free throw, which continues to be a thing for Beasley. He doesn't get to the line a ton, and the Wolves knew that when they signed him. But 4 of 8 on threes, 29 points and 18 shots, the Wolves will take that every night. They'll take 6 rebounds every night too. 6 rebounds and assist to steal, no turnovers. Very good game from Beasley. He played well early in the fourth quarter, I should say, middle of the fourth quarter when he got back into the game, and then only touched the ball like once down the stretch, as I already talked about. So disappointing end to the game, not necessarily his fault, but a good game for Malik Beasley. Incidentally, he also only had 32 minutes played. The Wolves had 3 players that played 32 minutes: Naz Reid, Malik Beasley, Anthony Edwards. Nobody else played. Actually, the only other player that played more than 28 was D'Angelo Russell, played 31 minutes. The Wolves didn't have anyone play more than 32 minutes in this game. The Spurs had 2. They had Poeltl played 34 minutes and DeMar DeRozan played 40. I'm not saying Ryan Saunders is the anti-Tibbs with the amount of minutes he's giving guys, but it's tough when Malik Beasley gets 32 minutes and Ricky Rubio gets 28. I mean, I like Ricky Rubio and he's a good player and he played really well in this game, but Malik Beasley's got to get some minutes. I mean, he's got to play more than 32 minutes when he's playing this well. Also a stud for me in this game is Anthony Edwards. I know that the game didn't end the way that it should have for him. And the fact that he squeezed the trigger 14 times in three quarters and didn't touch the ball but once in the fourth quarter at all, I mean, that tells you how active he was early in the game. The Wolves actually ran two sets where they got post-ups for Anthony Edwards on the left block. One ended in a basket. I guess one was in the first quarter and one was in the third quarter, I believe. And he scored on one. The other one, he actually got double-teamed and kicked the ball out, and they swung it around the perimeter and missed a three-pointer. I forget who shot it. I think it might have been D'Lo. But the Wolves actually ran post-up sets for Edwards. They were doing things to get him involved. They were letting him operate in isolation in the first quarter. And I don't know if this was just strictly he's a rookie, we don't want to put too much on his shoulders, give him a bunch of touches early and then make him stay in the corner late, which of course is absurd. Or if this was just, you know, D'Lo taking over. But it's just very weird because Edwards was good. I mean, 6 of 14 isn't ultra efficient, but it's fine. He was 1 of 3 on threes. He only forced one of his 3 three-pointers. 1 of 2 at the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 2 assists and a block. No turnovers for Edwards either. Was very good in this game and deserved to be more involved down the stretch. And that was very frustrating. The third stud for me in this game, it was either going to be Jake Layman or Ricky Rubio. Layman had 11 points in 11 minutes, but he didn't do anything else. He had no rebounds, no assists. He had a steal and a block, but did what he could with his minutes. Ricky Rubio was very good in the first half, and he was fine in the second half. 8.7 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, only 2 turnovers, 4 of 10 shooting, missed his only 3-point attempt. He started the game 4 of 5. I think he missed his last 5 shots from the field. But still, was good in what he was asked to do in this game. Notably, Jalen Nowell hit double figures for the 5th time in 5 games since he joined the rotation, 10 points on 3 of 9 shooting. He actually did make 2 of his 3 3-point attempts, which is really good to see. I'm only going to have one dud in this game. Josh Okogie's not a dud for me because he played well defensively on DeRozan when he was asked to guard him. He only played 24 minutes in this game. The Wolves apparently are now deathly afraid of his lack of shooting, which is understandable. I took them to task for the way that his minutes were handled just a couple games ago. But still, only 24 minutes. DeRozan played 40 and scored 30 points, including some daggers down the stretch. And Anthony Edwards did okay guarding him down the stretch, but was just an interesting rotation decision. Okogie was a +5, which was actually a team high in this game. So he's not a dud for me. Incidentally, he did make a 3-pointer, which is the first time in a while. So that was good to see. And it wasn't a corner three either. He actually missed his corner three attempts. It was from the slot in this game. My only dud for me is D'Angelo Russell and his 20 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds, no turnovers in 31 minutes. That looks nice, but he was 1 of 7 from 3. He had 5 points scored on 7 possessions used during that stretch in the fourth quarter. And that was the biggest thing for me. It's not just about the box score. Studs and duds isn't. It's also about how you impact the game. And D'Angelo Russell impacted the game in a negative way down the stretch. Love the fact the guy's ice in his veins and wants to take the shots. Love the fact the Wolves have a guy that can get his shot wherever he wants on the court, that wants to take the big shot, that can make the big shot, that can make the difficult shot. But I don't like the fact that it came at the expense of Malik Beasley on a 12 of 18 night. He's been the best Wolves player all year, except for the 4 games Cats played in. I don't like that it comes at his expense. I don't like that Anthony Edwards gets one touch and 0 shots in an entire quarter. So the Wolves just need to figure that out. And as I mentioned earlier, I think the dynamic with Karl-Anthony Towns on the court down the stretch with D'Angelo Russell is going to be way different. I mean, we can go back and watch the 4 games that they played together and see how they played down the stretch. And it was a lot of pick and roll with Russell and Towns. And no offense to Naz Reid, but I do think Russell's a lot more likely to pass the ball to Towns in that situation. Although I remember some of the same issues was D'Lo wants to be the guy taking the shot. And that's, again, that's fine. But he has to be willing to make the pass. The only pass he made was the wrong one among those 7 possessions. Was the one when Naz got blocked because he got put in a tough spot. The Wolves ended up scoring because Naz got his own rebound and passed it back to Beasley, and Beasley scored. So I think I buried D'Lo enough on today's show, but he is the dud for this game. Despite the no turnovers, despite the 20 points and the 3 blocks, which is weird. But he is the only dud in this game. Everybody else played fairly well. Vanderbilt was quiet 16 minutes, but he had 11 rebounds. Naz Reid had 8 and 11 in 32 minutes. Jaden McDaniels was fine. Very quiet game for him. And nobody else really fits the profile of a dud in this game outside of D'Angelo Russell. All right, that's all we have for you today. I talked about this on the top of the show, but Ryland Stiles will be on the show Friday, the host of Locked On Thunder. We're going to talk all things Wolves Thunder ahead of two Wolves Thunder games in 24 hours, both in OKC. So that'll be Friday's show. It'll be up early in the morning on Friday, so be sure to tune into that. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, then please do that. You can do that on iTunes, of course, as well as follow on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you like to get your podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, my account at B Beacon. That's two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. And if you do follow on iTunes, please help us out with a review. That definitely helps us get in front of more eyes and ears. All right. Again, today's episode is brought to you by CBDMD. That's all we have for you today. Make sure to check back again on Friday. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.